Why is everyone arguing about bathrooms now?
There have been very few complaints the way it is.
Let the states decide.
This opens the door for all kinds of issues with men deciding one day that they want to be women and then switching back the next day.
I'm Coco Peru, and I'm here because it's an opportunity to meet fans who are coming from all over the country.
My name is David Yost. I originally played Billy the Blue Ranger on the television series The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I'm Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and I'm here selling my brand hey, at the RuPaul Drag Con.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Japan plans LGBT-friendly workplace policies, anti-equality states revolt against Obama's bathroom guidelines, and drag icons convene at DragCon 2016. Those stories and more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending May 28, 2016. The Japanese government announced late this week that revised guidelines it will release in January define employment discrimination against LGBT people as sexual harassment. The Kyoto News Agency reported that officials with the Health, Labor, and Welfare Ministry said on May 26th that changes to the Equal Employment Opportunity Law include strengthening existing guidelines that already require companies to punish employees who sexually harass LGBT people. Four opposition parties submitted a bill the following day to the Diet, the country's legislative body, to ban all forms of discrimination against sexual minorities, though its passage is iffy at best. The measure would require governments at all levels to prepare basic plans to deter discrimination and would also prohibit private companies from discriminating against LGBT people. The bill generally demands that government and private employers abolish all practices that hamper LGBT people in their daily life.
A high-profile South Korean gay couple said this week that they plan to appeal the Seoul Western District Court's May 25th ruling that denied legal status to the marriage ceremony the couple famously celebrated on a scenic bridge in Seoul in September 2013. They filed suit in May 2014 after the Seoul District Office rejected their marriage registration because same-sex marriage does not satisfy the definition of husband and wife in civil law. The district court agreed this week that the marriage of Kim Sung-hwan and Kim Seok-kwang-su could not be recognized under current law and said that it was up to the legislature to change it. On the day the appeal was announced, Kim told reporters that, "I hope the judiciary takes courage and makes a decision instead of pushing the responsibility to the legislative body." He called on other gay and lesbian couples to come out of the closet and join us. Ryu Min-hee, the attorney for movie director Kim and his longtime spouse, announced that, in fact, two more same-gender couples had already filed separate marriage equality lawsuits that day.
A measure in the United States Congress to protect LGBT rights had a bumpy roller coaster ride this week. Authored by out New York Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney, it would uphold President Barack Obama's executive order protecting LGBT workers against bias by federal contractors. The Republican-dominated House infamously removed that amendment from a major defense spending bill last week after seven members were pressured to change their votes to defeat it. The proposal was approved in an energy and water spending bill this week, but removed again the following day. The energy and spending bill then failed. Some are predicting that no other spending bills are going to pass the House anytime soon because of the bitter battle over LGBT civil rights within the Republican Party. GOP insiders who were there told CNN that a Georgia Republican member opened an early morning caucus meeting with a prayer that warned party colleagues that any member who backed the LGBT provision was going to hell. That prompted some of them to walk out of the meeting. Pity, if you will, House Speaker Paul Ryan, who's already under pressure for, at least as we record this newscast, not yet endorsing GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. He reluctantly took the Speaker's job amidst an already fractured Republican Party after John Boehner unexpectedly quit and resigned from Congress late last year. Ryan now has another internal squabble he doesn't want to have to deal with.
The government in the tiny Micronesian island of Nauru announced on May 27th that its parliament had passed the Crimes Act 2016 to bring the independent nation's century-old criminal code up to international human rights standards. Laws against same-gender sex were repealed. The act also decriminalized attempted suicide, abolished the death penalty, and ended imprisonment at hard labor and solitary confinement. About 10,000 people call Nauru home. It's located in the South Pacific, northeast of Australia. The government of Seychelles repealed its century-old sodomy law last week. About 93,000 people call one of the 115 African islands in the Indian Ocean home. The colonial era law punished private consensual adult gay sex with up to 14 years in prison. Politically powerful Christian church leaders loudly voiced their opposition. But Seychelles Foreign Affairs Minister Joel Morgan said that a sin is not determined by the government, but by religion. Each individual needs to follow his or her conscience on the issue. President James Michel prevailed after announcing his intention to repeal the law during his State of the Nation address in February. 14 lawmakers voted in favor, 14 abstained, at least some probably feeling that church pressure, and 4 members were absent.
Private consensual adult gay sex was illegal in Australia until the 1980s, and even the early 90s in some states. Victoria's Labour Party Premier Daniel Andrews made his state the first in the country this week to formally apologize to the gay men who were prosecuted under those buggery statutes that even outlawed homosexual loitering, a vague offense allowing the wholesale persecution of gay people just for existing. In a moving speech to Parliament on May 24th, Andrews recounted stories of some of the gay men who had suffered injustices under those laws and defined the path forward.
It is our responsibility to prove that the Parliament that engineered this prejudice can also be the Parliament that ends it. Yeah. Speaker, there is no more simple an acknowledgement than this. There was a time in our history when we turned thousands of ordinary young men into criminals. And it was profoundly and unimaginably wrong.
Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews.
Meanwhile, so-called conversion therapy to make LGBT teens normal has been outlawed in the U.S. state of Vermont. California, New Jersey, Oregon, Illinois, New York, Washington, D.C., and the city of Cincinnati have already banned the controversial practice. Democratic Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin signed the bill on May 25th, issuing a statement that said it was absurd to think that being gay or transgender is something to be cured of.
Let's now catch up on the latest developments in the two leading U.S. hate states. North Carolina, with its law banning local LGBT civil rights ordinances and forbidding trans people from using gender-segregated public facilities, like bathrooms, in which they feel most comfortable, and Mississippi, with its so-called religious freedom law, allowing both private and public workers to refuse to serve LGBT people based on sincerely held religious belief. The hospitality state's Republican Governor Phil Bryant continues to staunchly defend the law, despite mounting losses in Mississippi's vital tourism business and official travel bans issued by a number of U.S. state and city governments. A growing list of entertainers have either canceled shows in Mississippi or donated proceeds to local LGBT advocacy groups. Even the European Union has weighed in, declaring that the laws in Mississippi and North Carolina each violate international human rights treaties.
The latest performers to cancel concerts in North Carolina just this week included celebrated violinist Itzhak Perlman and the pop group Maroon 5. The Dave Matthews Band held its scheduled concert in Charlotte, but donated part of the proceeds to local LGBT-supportive organizations. The largest Latino civil rights and advocacy organization in the U.S., the National Council of La Raza, announced that it's moving a conference out of the Tar Heel State to protest the anti-LGBT law known as HB2.
The San Francisco 49ers of the National Football League donated $75,000 to the LGBT Equality North Carolina Foundation to further their work. The National Basketball Association is still reportedly considering moving next year's All-Star Game out of Charlotte. Lawmakers in that city were scheduled this week to discuss repealing their local LGBT anti-discrimination ordinance. Its passage prompted the state legislature to overturn it, which created the firestorm that's been raging for the past few months. But discussion of repeal was removed from the agenda just prior to the city council meeting without explanation. There was no announcement about whether it might be part of a future agenda.
And finally, lawyers for the University of North Carolina system told a federal court in a civil lawsuit filed specifically against it, in addition to state government officials, that it won't enforce the part of HB 2 that requires trans students to use restrooms corresponding to the gender on their birth certificate. The declaration came in a motion asking the court to halt those proceedings while a higher court decides a separate case on transgender rights from Virginia. The University of North Carolina system stands to lose millions of dollars in federal funding because of HB 2. UNC attorneys stressed in their May 27th filing that the university system has not changed any of its policies or practices regarding transgender students or employees. And they concluded that there is nothing in the law that prevents any transgender person from using the restroom consistent with his or her gender identity. There was no response by the time we recorded this newscast from officials with North Carolina's dominant Republican majority, led by Governor Pat McCrory. But they're not likely to be pleased by a state university system, apparently, hollering uncle.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 28, 2016, produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm John Dyer V.
What is your favorite thing at DragCon?
Seeing everybody. You'll see like 10, 15, 20 people that you recognize from the internet, which is really rad.
If you happen to keep a tiara in your closet, you'll want to dig it out later in the program.
Step to the left, now step to the right. Put your knees together and squeeze them tight. Keep your arms moving side to side. Try to hold it in till it's time to ride. Knock, knock, let me in, knock, knock, let me in, I gotta go. Knock, knock, let me in, knock, knock, let me in, I gotta go.
Texas led more than a dozen U.S. states in a federal lawsuit this week, challenging the Obama administration's guidelines concerning transgender students in public schools that receive federal funding. The original plaintiffs included Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Soon, far-right Maine Governor Paul LePage, the Arizona Department of Education, two school districts in Arizona and Texas, and Mississippi's Governor Phil Bryant joined in. Their target is the interpretation of federal civil rights laws that ban discrimination based on sex issued by the U.S. Justice and Education Departments in mid-May. A number of courts have already agreed that those provisions protect transgender people, too. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton took the opportunity to demonstrate his total ignorance about transgender people when he told Fox News why he was leading the charge.
This opens the door for all kinds of issues with men deciding one day that they want to be women and then switching back the next day. It doesn't answer any particular question.
A statement issued by ACLU LGBT rights director James Essex pointed out that the Obama administration didn't make the law. It simply applied the law and guidelines. Essex called the lawsuit a political stunt, saying that if these attorneys general disagree with the agency's interpretation of what the federal ban on sex discrimination means, they can make that argument to the court when it arises in a real case. In a Fox News candidate debate in April, now presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump said he thought it was silly to worry about which bathrooms transgender people use.
People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
However, this week, Trump did the backstroke into muddy waters during an appearance on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I thought this was very interesting. You believe that transgender people should be able to use whatever bathroom they want to, which is contrary to what a lot of people, most people in your party, believe. Why do you think people are focused on that?
What really I'm saying is, and I think it's pretty simple, let the states decide. And, you know, we have to protect everybody. It's a very, very small group. Right now, it's a very small group. Perhaps
but would
it's
you say,
larger.
Though, if you were voting personally or a member of, in New York State, that you would vote for that right?
Well, the party generally believes that whatever you're born, that's the bathroom you use.
Well, okay? What about you?
I say let the states decide. And I just say let the states
decide. Do you personally support it? I think you do.
What I support is let the states decide. And I think the states will do, hopefully, the right thing.
And what's the right thing?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's a very interesting
It's the stupidest
subject.
Thing to be focused on.
No,
don't
no,
we have
I mean,
much
the world,
bigger
the
problems?
The world is blowing apart. And,
yes.
You know, lots of bad things are happening. And a lot of, but you know what? It's something has to be discussed. But I say let the states decide.
Perhaps all the opponents of the Obama administration's transgender guidelines should take notes during this abbreviated but pointed history lesson from NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Why is everyone arguing about bathrooms now? Well, it turns out this move is nothing new. In fact, fighting over bathrooms is the oldest move in the Prejudice playbook. And if you're not into books, it's also available as a digital download. America has a long history of using bathrooms to scare people, and it makes sense because bathrooms are pretty scary to begin with. You're cut off from the world, your pants are down, the lighting is terrible. And politicians are happy to exploit that fear. But first, a little history. Separate bathrooms for men and women began in the 1800s when women started working in factories. Women needed bathrooms, whereas men were shocked to learn women even used bathrooms. They just assumed back then that everything women ate turned to babies. Which is why, true story, to this day, we call children little historical fact. Now, after the Civil War, Jim Crow laws forced African Americans to use different bathrooms than white Americans. And then in the 1980s, there was a movement to keep gay men from using public restrooms because people were afraid they'd catch AIDS from a toilet seat. Of course, that can't happen. But telling a minority group that they're not allowed to use the same bathroom everyone else uses is a well-worn strategy used to make minorities feel like crap, pun intended. But proponents of the so-called bathroom bill don't want you to see their bills as prejudice. They want you to think they're trying to protect the children.
As the father of daughters, I'm not terribly excited about men being able to go alone into a bathroom with my daughters.
When you start bringing in 7-year-old children co-mixing in the bathroom, it's going to be chaos.
First of all, these guidelines are not forcing boys and girls to shower together. Second of all, anywhere 7-year-olds co-mix, it's going to be chaos. But it turns out that's another classic move used against minority groups, painting them as child predators. Just ask gay men. For decades, they were barred from being teachers or scout leaders, even though study after study has shown there is zero correlation between being a child molester and being gay. When conservatives claim that trans people are preying on children, then that they shouldn't be allowed to use the bathroom they want to use, it's not a response to an actual problem. It's an age-old scam used to mobilize people against a vulnerable minority group. You know who actually needs protection? Trans people. 25% of trans Americans have lost their job because of their identity. 20% have been homeless at some point. 90% have been denied health care. And 70% of trans people have experienced some form of harassment in a public bathroom. The idea that trans people are a dangerous presence in bathrooms or a threat to our children is a lie. And worse, it's not even a new lie. It's the oldest lie in the book.
A so-called bathroom bill to outlaw trans people using the public facilities of their choice is now pending in the Oklahoma state legislature. In the same way that state bans on civil marriage for same-gender couples were ultimately overturned, challenges to these discriminatory anti-trans laws will probably be decided in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Children born today will grow up in a world without DOMA.
Hello, I'm Robbie Kaplan, the author of Then Comes Marriage, United States v. Windsor and the Defeat of DOMA. And you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
We are what we are, and what we are is an illusion. We love how it feels, putting on heels, causing confusion. We face life, though it's sometimes sweet and sometimes bitter. Face life with a little guts and lots of bitter. under our frocks, girdles and chocks, proving we are one. We are.
We dispatched our intrepid entertainment correspondent to the Los Angeles Convention Center on May 7th and 8th, where he mysteriously disappeared into a cloud of glitter. Oh, wait! There he is!
This is Steve Fry on the floor of RuPaul's DragCon. In its second year, the event is bigger and better than ever before. So let's meet just a few of the incredibly fierce people around me. Tell me who you are and why you're here.
I'm Coco Peru, and I'm here because it's an opportunity to meet fans who are coming from all over the country. So for me, it's just amazing to have people that will actually stand on a line and want to give me a hug and tell me how much they love me. It's a treat for me, really.
Is it awkward to be a lady like you in a room full of drag queens?
Not at all. I feel right at home with my drag sisters. This lighting could be better, I'll be honest, but what are you going to do?
My name is David Yost. I originally played Billy the Blue Ranger on the television series The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers back in the 90s. It was the number one children's show. And fortunately for me, the success of the show has gone on and on and on. Here I am 20 years later, and I get to travel around the world and do lots of Comic-Cons, and I get to meet fans from all over the world and hear some amazing stories about how Power Rangers influenced their lives. In the 90s, being gay in Hollywood was not easy. And as an actor, it's something that you didn't really want people to know because it really would have an effect on your acting career. I mean, the people that I was working with, they might have suspected that I was gay, but I never confirmed yes or no. And when I was working on the TV show, I wasn't dating people. I wasn't doing anything within the gay world. If anybody were to ask me if I was gay back then, I would tell them no. So coming out was a difficult process for me. I had to go through a lot of mental issues within myself that I had to overcome, and eventually I did that, and at the age of 30 years old, I came out.
My name is Craig Ramsey, and I paired up with Pandora Box Drag Star for Workouts of Drag, which is the most fun, entertaining fitness program to ever hit the market. And what we wanted to create with Workouts of Drag is just a fun fitness experience that takes the pressure off of the reps and sets and all the boring factors and the factors that make you feel like crap when you work out. We eliminate those. It's a fun exercise program that is highly effective because it's interval training, raising your heart rate up and lowering it down to be able to burn chemicals, ATP and creatine, which burn fat. So it's fun, yet effective.
You're also a reality star.
Well, yes, I have been on TV. My husband and I were featured on Newlyweds the first year on Bravo Season 3, and we had a great time with that. It was such a pleasure to be able to take America into what a gay marriage looks like, because we were the first legally married gay couple on TV. And the response is incredible. I think that we're so flattered that all of these straight couples across America found our marriage relatable. And the plethora of messages that we got from people saying, I have to apologize, I voted against gay marriage. I didn't believe in this until I saw it. So that was our intention, and that's what we were able to provide America.
Hi, I'm Leisha. I have a new product called Pet Wigs, and it's a wig for your pet. This was our launch. We're at DragCon right now, and it's going amazingly. Everybody who rounds the corner to see our booth is laughing hysterically, which is what we want. There's 1,000 costumes for pets, but nobody did the hair. So you can't really ever complete the outfit. So we wanted to give like 10 different looks, different styles from the eras, and we have them in 3 sizes. If you go to petwigs.com, you can put in your email, and our store's going to launch in a couple of months.
Excellent. And you look very familiar. Can you explain why?
Yeah, I was on a show called The L-Word.
So how do you go from that to this?
Oh, I do a lot of different things.
But you must get a lot of feedback because you were iconic. You were like everyone's favorite character on that show, and you're very recognizable. So what did you get just walking around this place especially?
I'm with my people. We're just having a good time together.
I'm Drew Drogi, and I'm here, I think because of my Chloe 70 impersonation, or I don't know, because I'm an idiot in a wig. I don't know. Sometimes, not today.
What has your experience of DragCon been?
It's been great. Everybody's here. I can't believe how many people are here. It's a really great way to just connect. I've been meeting like fans from all over the world that are here. And it's just great to see everybody out. And it's also really positive. It's very happy here. And everyone's very supportive. And everyone's beautiful. So what's wrong with any of that?
My name is Big Dipper. I performed here at DragCon. I make music. I'm a rapper. I make music videos. I play club gigs. Yeah, that's about it.
And what is your favorite thing at DragCon?
Seeing everybody. Just sort of looking around. If you glance from left to right, you'll see like 10, 15, 20 people that you recognize from the internet, which is really rad.
And what do you think it would have been like to have a DragCon when you were a kid? Because there are a lot of kids here.
I think it would be really cool. You know, I sort of had to like carve out my own understanding of culture. You had to find little pockets of it. And this is a really exciting place for everything to come together. So I think it would be really empowering if I was a young person, and there are a lot of young people here.
I'm Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and I'm here selling my brand at the RuPaul Drag Con.
Well, your brand's pretty fantastic.
Yes, the Supremes are quite wonderful. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, why do drag queens and gay people just worship the Supremes?
We all love glamour. That's it. We just love glamour.
What's your favorite thing here?
You know what I saw? There's this wonderful car. All Swarovski's, whatever, crystals. Oh, that's great.
That's enough bling for you?
I love bling. Are you kidding? Hey.
I'm Andrew Christian, underwear designer. I'm here at DragCon promoting my brand and meeting lots of fun and interesting fans.
You have a really hard job.
It's very hard. You know, I get to hang out with all these hot models all day. They get to walk around in underwear. It's really difficult.
Is it weird to have everyone in your underwear?
It is. It's even more of like a weird thing when I'm halfway around the world and then I run into somebody who's like wearing my underwear. So it's really a good feeling.
Someone bends over to pick something up and suddenly you see your name on their butt.
It's nice, like if you're in the locker room and like I see somebody wearing my brand.
That gives you an opening line.
Yeah, definitely.
You're in my shorts.
Right?
Reporting from the exhibition floor of DragCon 2016, at the Los Angeles Convention Center, I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, John Dyer V, Wenzel Jones, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Some of the music you heard came from a 1984 Tony Awards performance from LaKaja Fole, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, for making this program possible. You'll find more information about the show and the crew, a video teaser for our must-have LGBT History from Outlaws to In-Laws CD, and more at thiswayout.org. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WDIY Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, KVSC St. Cloud, Minnesota, to ECR Eden, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.